Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a live recording of the Bible message shared during the Sunday worship service.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today.
I mentioned about us living in Australia, and we've also made several visits to Israel as well. And that is also a very dry place, of course, in the Middle East, surrounded by lots of water, but essentially very dry and very hot. I remember when we went there for 6 weeks to volunteer, down by the Dead Sea was constantly over 40 degrees, and that's just how life is, very dry, very barren. I remember flying back and suddenly seeing the green, green grass of home and glad to be amongst water again. It just reminds us, you know, that what is very common and very available for us is actually quite a precious commodity for so many people in the world. Water is essential for life, as our young people reminded us. And as I also went on to remind us, we need that spiritual water which Jesus talked about with that Samaritan woman in our Bible reading. The kind of water which, without which our souls would dry up, our soul would dry up. We would become quite bitter people rather than better people, and that's not a very pleasant place to be in. So let us consider this morning the living water that Jesus gives to us, and I'd like us to consider this morning 3 points. It's always good when a preacher has 3 main heads: Samaria and a woman, springs and wells, spirit and our worship. So now, even if you have a little doze off during the sermon, at least you've got the 3 minutes, you know where we're going. At least you can have an intelligent conversation over coffee with anyone who wants to talk about the sermon this morning. Let's first of all then talk about Samaria and a woman. Samaria was actually in the middle of Israel. It's no longer there today, although there's still around about 300 Samaritans still existing today. But right in the middle of Israel, between the province of Israel in the north and Judah in the south, was this area called Samaria. It all happened when the people from the northeast, there, from what is today called Syria, in those days Assyria, came in, invaded Israel and scattered the Jews. And some of those Jews intermarried the foreigners, and they moved further south and set up this area called Samaria. So Samaritans were really hybrid Jews. You know, they were not fully fledged Jews. And so the pure Jew actually started to hate the Samaritans. You know, these were people who were uncircumcised. You know, they shouldn't be, you know, God's people living in God's land. They were foreigners and they should remain foreigners. That's why when Jesus came along, he said, I'm going to tell you the story about a good Samaritan. That's why the ears pricked up. In the Jewish mindset, there's no such thing as a good Samaritan. It's a bit like me saying to you this morning, I want to tell you a story about a good Taliban. You'd be saying, what? You know? Or I want to tell you a good thing about Brexit. You'd be saying, there's no good thing about it. So, you know, it's that kind of mindset where there's no such thing as a good Samaritan. And I'll tell you that as a bit of a background to this message this morning. Because for Jesus to actually speak, first of all, to a woman on her own, would be a very uncultural thing to do. But for Jesus as a Jew to actually speak to a Samaritan woman would be absolutely unkosher as well. And for Jesus to ask a Samaritan woman for Samaritan water out of a Samaritan bucket drawn up from a Samaritan well would just be the most unbelievable thing to happen. It would have been just unthinkable for any Jews. In fact, do you notice what's happened? Before this happened, Jesus sent his followers to Tesco's. Well, the Bible says he sent them off to buy bread. We don't quite know where it was. But he sent them off to buy. Why did he do that? Perhaps he did it because they would not understand. They would not be able to accept what was about to happen. Here Jesus asking this Samaritan woman for Samaritan water out of a Samaritan well. Here was Jesus crossing huge social and cultural rules. This encounter should not have taken place. And yet it's one of these early encounters which tells us that with Jesus there's no favourites, and with Jesus there's no obstacles, and with Jesus there are no foreigners and no outcasts. God's love is about everybody. It's about embracing everyone despite their culture and despite their colour and creed and religion and nationality and disposition and so on and so forth. God loves us all. It was interesting when we did volunteer in Israel. We volunteered at a place called the Garden Tomb, and we worked there as guides and as people who came from all over the world. You know, groups came from literally Indonesia and Brazil and China and wherever. They came with all their languages, with all their religions even, and with all their customs. And there they met at the Garden Tomb to witness an empty tomb and to celebrate the risen Christ. What a wonderful example that is of people coming together under Christ's name, and despite being very different, culturally different, and singing in different languages, yet they're all one in that place. And Jesus still crosses those barriers today to meet his children. There's another barrier that Jesus crosses as well. Middle Eastern village women avoid the heat of the day. The Bible tells us that when this woman came to the well to fetch water, it was the sixth hour. In our language, it was midday. Now, any Jew reading this would say, what on earth was she doing there? Why was this woman coming out at midday when the sun was fierce in this barren place? Only, well, the Jew won't say this, but I'm saying it to you, only mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. Certainly true for this woman. Why would she actually be doing that? Why would she be going there? The second thing is as well, the Bible interestingly tells us that the woman was alone. Now again, that would be our big questions in a Jewish mindset mind. They would be saying, why is this woman alone? They would never go and get water alone. First of all, the jars were big. They would put them on their heads and they would go and get the water. And once they were filled with water, to lift that jar up would have been very difficult. So the women went together to support each other, but also to physically help each other as well. So this story tells us that this woman went on her own and went at midday when there would be no other women around. So we know from this that this woman was an outcast. She was obviously not welcomed as part of the group of women from that small village of Sychar. So Jesus approaches this woman, this outcast, this person who had nobody. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Just four words, but full of meaning and full of challenge. And because I've told you all that I've told you, now you can understand what her reaction is. Her reaction was this: why are you asking me for water? Or in other words, why are you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, for water? Of course that would be the question she would ask. It was the most surprising thing for her to be have this question asked of her. But the other thing is, I love it the way that Jesus doesn't go to this woman, and this sinful woman, as we find out as well, and sort of preach to her and tell her what she needs to do to get her life sorted out. The first thing Jesus does is goes to her and says, I need some water. You have something that I have need for. And I think it's a wonderful, for me, a wonderful message of evangelism. You know, when we go with our mission to people, we very often go, don't we? Even we stand in the open air or even on a one-to-one basis, we can stand, if we're not careful, as if we have all the answers and we have everything. You come to us and we'll give you everything you need in order to become a Christian. That wasn't the way Jesus did it. Jesus actually said, you know, give me some of your water. You know, Jesus first of all went to Simon and said, you know, give me your boat. Let me use your boat as a floating pulpit. Jesus stood in need of these people before ever he was able to offer anything to them. It's a thought we're thinking about as we approach people today with their need of salvation. Rather be judgmental, rather than feel we've got all the answers, What is it that we can offer them? You know, the Salvation Army approach, isn't it? Giving a cup of tea, giving a bottle of water, giving them a bed for night, and then thinking about the soul. It's not a bad way to go about it. It's a Jesus way, I would suggest. If you think of this particular situation, Jesus is going into an encounter that shouldn't have happened, and he is standing before a Samaritan woman who is in great need. But Jesus also is in great need. He is thirsty. He has no bucket, even though there's water there. But now, having broken down those barriers, Jesus does start to reveal something that only he can offer her. And these are the words he says in verse 10. If only you knew the gift that God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. Living water. She would have never heard that expression before. She would have heard of water, but living water. Living water. Water, as Jesus would go on to say, which would never run dry. Water which would continue to quench thirst. Water which would refresh your soul and go on refreshing your soul to eternity. It is the living waters which Jeremiah prophesied to the exiled Jews about long before then. My people, says Jeremiah, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah. And this is the living water which now rolls again here in the New Testament and which is also available for us today. The second point, let's look at living water and the springs and the wells. First, let me address the wells. Because after Jesus says, if only you knew the gift of God, what the gift of God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would be asking me and I would be able to give you living water. The Samaritan woman responds to Jesus like this. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said. And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water from? By the way, in our trip to Israel, we've actually visited that well. That well is still there. It's very difficult to move a well. You know, it's still there. They've built a church over it today, but I have restrained from bringing any of my holiday snaps, which shows a nice picture I took of, not the woman of Samaria, but the woman of my life, standing right next to the well, still with a bucket there, and you can drop the bucket down, and it takes a long, long time before it hits the water. That well is still very deep today. Okay, I've avoided putting on the caption anything awful about my wife because we've been together for so long. And so I'm not going to go along that joke, you know, the woman of Samaria being the biggest woman of the Bible. I'm not going to say that at all this morning. The woman of Samaria is how it's pronounced. But that well is there, and it's still very deep. And it's the same well that Jesus refers to now. And it's an illustration of the fact that sometimes we need to dig deep for that water. Sometimes our souls are so parched, we have to really dig deep into God to get those waters which we need. When we're in Alice Springs, in Australia, we celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. And we always thought we'd go for somewhere special. We thought we were going to Prague, actually. We'd never been to Prague. And then we realised how far it was when we found ourselves in Australia. So instead, we went to the very centre of Australia, a place called Alice Springs, which is in the middle of a huge desert. And when we arrived in Alice Springs, we booked into our hotel, the Crown Plaza Hotel. It was our 25th wedding anniversary. We saw a card for the visitors to read, as sometimes you do. And I wrote down what it said on this card because it quite amazed us when we read it. It says, did you know that this is one of the driest parts of our continent? On average, in one year, less than 300 millimetre of rain falls and more than 10 times of that amount evaporates. We rely almost totally on water that comes from about 150 metres underground, and the water is 20,000 years old, and the level falls by 1 metre every year. So please, when you're using water during your stay here, consider how precious it really is and help us to make it last. It's amazing, isn't it? I'm about to have a shower and brush my teeth, which comes from about 150 metres below the ground and which is 20,000 years old. It's so difficult to comprehend that, isn't it? But Jesus points to this well which can spiritually refresh us. The well is deep, and I require a draught of the water of life, for none can quench my soul's desire for a draught of the water of life, till one draws near, who the cry will heed, helper of men in their time of need, and I, believing, find indeed that Christ is the water of life. Sometimes we need to dig deep like that. But springs, the other word up there, that's something different, isn't it? Springs is quite different to wells. When we were appointed to Edinburgh, we often went for walking up on the Pentland Hills nearby there, and sometimes we're walking just after a day or two of rain, you could hear the streams and the bubbling water. And it was lovely sometimes just to cup your hands and just to drink that very fresh water, which had only just had fallen as rain. There's something quite contrasting, isn't there, about the wells where the water had been there for many, many centuries, and springs of water which are so new and so fresh and so invigorating. The water that the woman was offered was the fresh, cool and refreshing water of the living water that Jesus was offering. And this is what Jesus said to the woman: those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. It's great to have wells to dig deep, but it's also good for us as Christians to have that fresh water that's new and invigorating. You know, we should never be giving testimonies which are just 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. We should also be able to testify what God has done for us this week, this day, yesterday. You know, that living water continues to roll over us and to refresh us and to give us something new. And our experience of God needs to be something which is very current and which is available for each one of us now. So the wells and the springs. And finally, do you think that's the best word in any sermon? And now finally, friends, about the Spirit and our worship. Because actually we come now to read the real crux of the message, which sometimes we miss out when we read this story. Because let me ask you this question: what does the water represent that Jesus is talking about? Of course, he's not talking about the physical water. The woman was on a very physical level. You haven't got a rope, you haven't got a bucket, how are you going to get water? Jesus was on a different horizontal line altogether, wasn't he? He was on a different paradigm. He was talking about spiritual water. And more than that, Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus was talking about the day when the Holy Spirit would come and refresh all who believe on him. Look at these verses, just two chapters away in John's Gospel. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me, says Jesus. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit. The confusion the woman was experiencing is that she was only thinking of the practical, human, physical level of water, whereas Jesus was revealing things of the Spirit. And this leads us to the second theme we can pick up here, which is worship. Jesus says this to the woman towards the end of this exchange: God is Spirit, so those who worship him worship in spirit and in truth. Where is the divine presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God, to be found? They had this argument between them, if you like, this conversation. Is it on Mount Gerizim, where the Samaritans worship, or is it on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem where the Jews worship? Where should we worship? This argument had gone on for centuries between the Samaritans and the Jews, and now it was brought up again between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. But Jesus chooses this moment with this Samaritan woman to put an end to the 500-year-old argument and made it up completely obsolete. The hour has now come, says Jesus, and the hour will come which will bring the revelation of the cross and the resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which summons us all to true worship, which summons us all to the reality. It's not actually where we worship that matters, but actually how we worship. No longer the tradition of a holy mountain, but rather the condition of a pure heart. The woman says that she knows that the Messiah is coming, and when the Messiah comes, he will reveal all things. Jesus uses this moment to introduce another one of his I ams. I am the Messiah, he replies. The woman returns to her village of Sychar and leaves behind a jug of water. Isn't that amazing? I just love sometimes the bit of detail you find in Scripture. The woman leaves behind a jar. She left behind what she came for. She didn't take physical water back with her. But what she did do, she returned with the living water that Jesus was able to give her. She shares with those in the village something quite astounding that Jesus had given to her. So much so that Jesus invited her to spend the next 2 days with the villagers. And the others in that village come and believe in Jesus too, through the testimony and witness of this woman. And these villagers said this about Jesus and about themselves: it is no longer because of what you said, what the woman says, that we believe. For we have now heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Saviour of the world. And you know, friends, this is our mission too. Our encounter needs to lead to many more encounters. Our encounter with the Lord, if we've come and been refreshed this morning, we're not to keep it to ourselves. We don't get water and then it's just for us. And we don't receive the living water of Jesus, keep it to ourselves. Rather, like the woman, it's something that we can share with others in this coming week by the words we speak, by the lives that we live. Somehow we can sprinkle some living water on people during this week that comes. And how much our world, how much our nation just now needs refreshing, living water. When Jesus said that this living water is eternal, it is like a well that will never run dry. Now, Jesus wasn't kidding. And I want to finish by bringing a final scripture before you this morning. It's actually from the book of Revelation, and it's in chapter 7. And you know that chapter, actually. It's that chapter which talks about people coming from the east and coming from the west. This great multitude of people who will be clothed in white, and they will all have their clothes washed in the blood of the Lamb. But then we go on to read these words: they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Hallelujah. It's a great message, isn't it? From Jeremiah, who talks about living water, to Jesus, who says, I'm the living water, to the book of Revelation, it says that we can all join in with living water when the people come together from the east and from the west, when their robes will be as white as snow, when we can rejoice in the blood of the Lamb. We will be refreshed. We will be restored. We will be washed. We will be healed. We will be forgiven. We will be cleansing. We'll be everything that the living waters can bring to each one of us. This is an invitation, isn't it? An invitation this morning to come to a place of prayer and to come and to take that living water, symbolically, of course, and spiritually we're talking about, to come and receive that water for the soul. And Jesus says for you and to me this morning, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to some words in our song. Words, of course, will be on the screen as well. And as we sing these words, we can perhaps bring ourselves to God this morning. We can think about our own soul, our own condition, with all that life sometimes throws at us. Maybe we are in need of living water this morning, I don't know. But it's a prayer we can all make. Lord, thank you for the wells that I've received over the years, but Lord, give me the new, refreshing springs of living water again today. So let's sing these words. And as we sing, let's make that prayer for ourselves. Let's make that prayer for each other. Make that prayer for someone that God lays on your heart and mind just now. Perhaps someone who's in need of that refreshing. Of course, our place of prayer is available. If you'd like to come and to kneel here, to stand by the Holiness table, then please feel the freedom to respond as the Spirit leads this morning.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.